Welcome to the West Harlem Wave Race Podcasts. I'm John Keniston, and this is episode 92. Welcome back to the latest West Harlem Wave Race Podcast. It's now Monday, the 20th of June, 2016, and it's a day after the West Harlem Wave Race weekend. I would imagine if you're listening to this, you were probably involved over the weekend, maybe as a runner, maybe as a supporter, as a marshal, and following the race and seeing how it went. It was an amazing weekend. We had 198 started and 159 finished, and everyone has got their own story. I do hope I might be able to interview some of them over the coming weeks as well. I'm looking forward to following the three guys that we followed over the race. They all finished, so it'll be good to have their story and find out more about them. In this podcast, I've actually interviewed Stuart Mills. I was supporting Stuart over the weekend, and he came up on Friday by flight. I interviewed him before the race, and then I did a few clips during the race and then interviewed him afterwards. So hopefully that'll give you a bit of a flavour of how his race went. So hopefully you'll enjoy this interview, a little bit different, some live broadcast, as it were, as I did it during the Saturday, during the run, and then his interview afterwards. So well done to everybody who took part this weekend. Thank you so much if you were involved as a marshal or as supporting someone. Congratulations to those who finished the race and received their goblet yesterday at the prize giving. So I hope you enjoy this interview and this latest West Harlem Way Race podcast. It's now 20 to 10, so the race is just over, three and a bit hours away. And Stuart Mills came up by plane today. And I have the great honour of supporting Stuart on this year's race. And I thought it'd be quite fun for this one to do a podcast basically throughout the weekend. And I'll interview Stuart now and then at the end of the race. And then during the race, I'll try and catch up with a few people. I won't ask Stuart to speak because he'd be too focused in and out. But thanks for doing this, Stuart. And you know the route pretty well. You've done the fling three times. And your best time was 7 hours 51.36 in 2011. But why are you doing the West Harlem Way race this year?
Yeah, I've done the fling three times and it's sort of like I've only done half the journey. So, I just thought it'd be nice to do the West Harlem Way. I haven't raced, this would be my first ultra for nearly 2 years, so I've had a bit of a break and I thought I'd do a new event and, like I say, finish the journey to Fort William.
Yeah, but you've not been idle, have you? Because I know you've been doing a certain Ironman challenge recently.
It was quite good, actually. I just last 4 weeks ago, actually, 4 weeks tomorrow, I did Lanzarote Ironman. So, it'd been 24 years since I did the first one, and it was the 25th anniversary. So, yeah, that's kept me busy getting myself fit for that, getting on the bike again, a bit of swimming, and ticking over to running.
Yeah. Okay, so you've only had 4 weeks preparation, in a sense, between the Ironman and the West Harlem Way. So what sort of training have you done in that time, running-wise?
Actually, not much at all, because I had a little bit of a dodgy Achilles tendon going into the Lanzarote Ironman. So I've probably done about 5 runs in the last 4 weeks, yeah. So I've done a 6-mile run. That's my longest, yeah. So yeah, I'm planning to be pretty fresh for tonight. Yeah, running on freshness, and hopefully experience from the 28 ultras I did between 2008 and 2014. So hopefully that will come back into play.
Yeah. Now, I think a lot of people hopefully have read your blog, and they'll know that you have a different approach to the way you see training and preparation. And one of the big things for you is the mental side, isn't it? And making sure that you're really clear. So I know the last week or so you've been concentrating quite a bit on this race. So what sort of things have you done to get yourself ready mentally for a race like the West Harlem Way?
I call it non-physical training. And so a week ago when I spoke to you on the phone, I'd done nothing. I'd been pretty busy after coming back from Lanzarote and had to do a bit of work for the day job. And but it's about getting to know the course. So in the last week, I've read the history about it started in 1985. I've got to know the route. I know the route up to Tindrum, Tindrum, you know, quite well, but I had no idea the last 42 miles. So I now know, I probably can't pronounce the names right, but I know the names of all the checkpoints. I got to know the climbs. I've read loads of race reports, Paul Goodwin's reports, read Matt Williamson's, a few others, just to sort of get a feel for the race and, yeah, just to sort of get into it and get a feel. So I'm sort of prepared. I know what's coming in terms of the distance between checkpoints, where there's likely to be a climb and stuff like that.
Yeah. Excellent. So you feel ready. Just the last question was, have you got an aim for the race? Have you got a time in mind that you're hoping to achieve, or where are you at?
Where am I at? I said to my wife that I was just going to do this for a bit of a jog and have a bit of fun and take a look at the countryside, and she said, yeah, sure. So I don't know, I've sort of, I haven't really, the aim is just, obviously it's to try and go quick, but it's more about me trying to, I'm not looking at any finishing place or anything like that, you know, which is quite a change from when I used to race, like when I came up for the fling and stuff like that. I'd be really focused, and quite often I'd make sure I was in the front bunch. So this year it's more about just running a lot more cautiously, and but not slowly, but a bit more cautious. So in terms of times, I don't know, we'll see how it goes. I've done a few splits there, but they sort of could be quite random.
Well, we won't say the times that you're after, but I've got the split, and hopefully during this podcast, what I'll do is I'll chat about where you're at once you've gone through, and then I'll reveal there maybe just whether you're ahead or behind your estimated splits, and then at the end, obviously we can have a chat and you can talk about how it went.
Yeah, no, it should be really good. And like I say, the last week I've done quite a lot of getting to know the race, and you know. And seeing how many people have done it. I think it's 900 and something people have said they've finished it. Yeah, so it would be great to join that sort of group of people who have done it. Yeah.
No, I think I say, you know, the first half you know well, but the second half, it's got its own character as well. It's a bit more wild and a bit more exposed at times. So I'm sure you'll love that. And some great views, as there always is in Scotland. So that's great. Well, we wish you a great race, Stuart. I'm looking forward to being your support and seeing you at each of the checkpoints. And then we'll see how it all unfolds. It's now 2:30 on Saturday morning, and I'm sitting in Balmahart car park, just being across to the Oak Tree for a bacon roll and a cup of tea, and which they've done over the last few years, and it's great. It means that support runners can get something to eat and drink while they're waiting for their runners to come. I think there was 197 started, which is probably the highest, well, it is the highest we've ever had start in a race, so that was really good. One person we knew couldn't come, and then two people just no shows, didn't start the race, but 197 is great. We always look, hopefully, to get around about 200, so that was pretty well spot on. I think the weather is going to be just perfect. It's still, it's going to be a warm day without being too hot. There's not much wind forecast, no rain forecast at all. So I think it's going to be great conditions for the runners, which is really good. Just been outside, I'd say, just across the Oak Tree, and there's no midges about at the moment, so that's good news, particularly for the support crews, so that's great. Expecting Stuart in, his prediction was 2 hours 40 to Balmahart, so just over an hour or so if he's on target to come in, and I would imagine the leaders will be just round about that time, maybe a little bit quicker, depends whether Stuart decides to go with them or not. And did the interview in the house before the race started, and Stuart was a bit coy about his time, but the splits I've got that he's given me is working on a sub 17 hours, and I think that's his goal, but obviously it'll depend on how he's going. But Stuart likes to go off pretty hard, and then knows he's going to slow down later on, so his plan for that. So we'll see where he is when he gets in to Balmahar. But I say he's looking for his aim was around about 2:40. So we'll see how close he is to that time, and we'll see where he is in relation to the front of the field as well. So next report will be after he's been through Balmahar. It's now almost 6 o'clock, and I'm sitting in McDonald's at Balmahar, having just had an egg and bacon McMuffin and some hot chocolate, which was very nice indeed. And I saw Stuart through Balmahar. His split, or his aim, was for 2:40, and he was there in 2:39 and a few seconds, so bang on target. But as he came in, he looked a little bit unsure. He was saying his Achilles tendon, which is the injury that he's had, really mentioned in the chat before the race, is a bit sore. So he said he's not going to be able to push it. So he basically said the sub 17 is out the window, and he's just going to try and enjoy it and keep going as steady as he can. But you never know with Stuart. So we'll probably get a better idea when we get to Ben Glass. I just looked at the split to Rowadennan on the Sport Index, the SI site, and he was aiming to be there in 3:55, and he was 4:07, so he's lost 12 minutes on that leg. So maybe he is just sort of easing off a little bit, but again, we'll see how it goes. I then waited until my friend, work colleague and friend Johnny Rowan came through. And he was just under 4 hours, looking quite comfortable. But I must admit, I felt there was a lot of runners who were coming in round about between about, I would say, 3:20 and 3:35, who I think have gone off a little bit quick. You can just see the way they were coming in, and maybe they just overcooked it a little bit. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope they're all able to finish and continue well, but I got the impression that I think some of them might have been a little bit quick to Balmahar. But we'll see. And it may be they have a Stuart Mills tactic of going harder at the beginning and then hanging on. And then there's others, hopefully like Johnny, who have taken it a bit more comfortable to start with and then can slow down less than others and catch people on the way. At the top end of the field, it looked quite a close race. There was two or three that were quite close together. I didn't catch all the names. Chris, I think, an American guy, and James Stewart was up there, and one or two others as well. So it'll be interesting to see how the race progresses at the top end. Weather is great. Again, just it looks as though it's going to be a nice, cool day. There's no wind about. No, it's certainly not going to be too hot, I don't think, but certainly dry. The midges were pretty good as well at Balmahar. I didn't put my midge net on. There was one or two around, but it looks pretty good at all round. So I'm heading up to Ben Glass now, where I'll meet Stuart and see how he's getting on in that leg from Balmahar to Ben Glass. Okay, so next report from Ben Glass. Now 10:55, and I'm at Ben Glass Farm. Been here for about 3.5 hours actually. I got here just after 7, hoping that Stuart would come in around about 7:30. That was his goal. And 7:30 came, and 8 o'clock came, and 8:30 came, and he came in just before 9 in the end. And his Achilles has started to play up, and he's really struggled over this last 14 miles since Rowadennan. Initially, he came in and said he wanted to stop, and he just didn't want to tough it out, really. To be honest, it was hard to know what to do, because Stuart's obviously an elite runner. He knows his own mind. But I think the midges were getting to him a bit as well, so we thought, well, why don't we just go to the van, have a sit for a few minutes. And then there was the cafe was open, went in, had a coffee, and I think he just rethought a little bit, realised he's got loads of time. He's never done the top half of the course, so why not go and enjoy it and have a bit of a run? So he had a couple of cups of coffee, and talked himself around, basically. And so he's set off. So he's going to be, he's not going to be aiming for his particular time now. He just wants to enjoy it and to go out. But there have been a number of people dropping out that I've seen, even in the top 10. Hal Corner was out, Paul Hart, David Gow, and at least another couple, at least one of them in the top, who was in the top 10, all through injury. Either picked up an injury during the race. Paul Hart went over on his ankle. David Gow is he had an injection into his heel on Tuesday, and then that was really sore. And then because he was trying to favour that, then his hip was sore on his left leg, so he made the wise decision to drop. Hal Corner, I think his hamstring said it had gone. So most, you know, mainly through injuries really, and it is pretty tough to. You're still another 55 miles to go from here, so it's still a long way. But there's others doing really well. The ladies' race looks quite close. Lizzie Raith was in first place, and not too far, Morgan was behind. And in the men's race, Chris Brown from America was leading, and James Stewart was second, so that could be quite an interesting race. In fact, I just spoke to Ian, and he's heard that Chris Brown might have gone wrong somewhere between Tyndrum and Bridge of Orkney, so I'm not quite sure what's happened there. But anyway, so it's all very good. The sun's out now, and it's looking at a really lovely day for supporting. Maybe it might get a little bit hot for the runners. But I'm now making my way over to Auchtertier, and hopefully Stuart will have had a good little leg and will be feeling better about life and his running. Okay, so next update from Auchtertier. Okay, latest update. It's now 12:15 on Saturday afternoon, so it means that the race has been going 11 hours 13 minutes. Stuart's just come through in 11:07, and he gave himself 2 hours 25 to get from Benglass to Auchtertier, and he was 2 hours and 27, so that was really good that he was able to do that. He didn't want to stop at all. I think he just wants to keep going now, because I think he feels if he stops, he'll lose the resolve a little bit. But he's looking okay, and went straight through. His weighing card was a little bit low. The officials are a little bit concerned, but I explained to them that he's fine and he's an elite athlete and he's used to losing a little bit of weight, so it's no problem. But hopefully he'll just be able to keep going strongly now. The weather is absolutely warm now. It's getting really warm, and so I think it's going to be quite tough on the runners for the next few hours, because it is getting quite hot for the runners. Great for the supporters and the marshals, and there's no midges here at all at Auchtertier, so that's nice as well. Off to Benglass. No, off to, where are we off to next? Bridge of Orkney. So he had down 1:30 for this leg. So if he does it within 2 hours, I think that'll be really good. So that would be fine. Feeling like that's a really good effort from Stuart. Well done. Right, hello again. It's now Sunday evening, and we're back in Paisley, and Stuart's with me. The reason I didn't do any more updates live during the race was that when Stuart came into Bridge of Orkney, I'm afraid he decided to stop there. I was hoping he'd be in around about 2 hours. When 2 hours came and 2 hours 10 came, 2:15 came, I thought there's more than likely that he would probably decide to stop there. I saw him coming down the hill walking, and that was confirmed then that there's no way. If he's not been able to run on the downs, then I couldn't imagine him wanting to carry on, and that was the case. And so we thought it would be good just to finish this off and to get a perspective on Stuart's race. So maybe first of all, Stuart, can you just tell us just how up to that point went? So just give us a bit of a summary. Obviously, people have listened to my little updates of what I thought, where you were at. But just from your perspective, how did that first half go?
Yeah, it was. We just listened to the update, so it was quite good listening to excitement where I came through Balmahar bang on schedule. Mm. But as John mentioned in the update,
my Achilles tendon was playing up. So coming down from Conakry, I knew that things weren't looking good. So I said to John, yeah, throw that schedule away. It's not happening. Yeah, we'll try and sort of do around 20 hours. I said, I thought I'd aim to try and beat John's personal best. But yeah, it's interesting. Once your Achilles goes, and well, it's not, it didn't really go, it was just causing difficulty. Once I found I moved out of race mode, everything gets more difficult. Mm-hmm. And so I cruised along to Roa Denon, had a bit of a break there and got attacked by midges at Roa Denon. And then I struggled to Invisnade. And I think that's a combination of just being out of race mode. Everything always gets a bit more difficult when you haven't got the emotion and excitement of racing. And eventually got to Ben Glass, and nearly stopped there, but managed to have a cup of coffee and have a chat. And
so in your mind at Ben Glass, what made you decide to carry on rather than just stop in there?
Well, it was mainly one of the reasons I came up to run the race was because I'd done the fling three times and I wanted to enjoy that, do that last 42 mile. Mm. And so, I mean, obviously I came up and, you know, I haven't done an ultra for 2 years, but I still expected to run reasonably well. I was quite fit. And so, you know, it wasn't about a race. It was a mixture of doing a race and also just enjoying the scenery. So the race had finished, but I thought, well, I can still just enjoy the scenery, you know, just jog along. And so that was the reason to continue, because although the tendon was a little bit sore, it didn't seem to be getting worse. So, you know, it played up coming down from Connick, but it wasn't getting any worse, so I didn't see that as a major issue. So. Mm.
Yeah, but you were saying it was your quads in the end that were more sore. And do you think that was because maybe you've not been able to condition them as much, having trained for the Ironman and then had the injury, so you couldn't get on the hills as much?
Yeah, it's I sort of had this, well, I'll call it sabbatical, but I had this break from ultra running, so it was my first ultra in nearly 2 years, and I had focused on the Ironman, so that was my big race last month, and so I'd done more on the bike and I hadn't done the conditioning in the legs. It was interesting. The race started yesterday, and I ran off what I felt was pretty cruisy, and I was in the front group of four, and we ran the first 9-10 miles together. And I was thinking, was I going too fast? And as I showed you just before, I checked my GPS splits, and they were the first 9-10 miles. The quickest was a 7:14 mile. So it was not too fast, and I felt really comfortable.
I must say this, Stuart, for most people, 7:15 will be sort of by far the fastest. But for yourself, that is cruising, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you were really going for it in your normal style, you'd be looking at, what, 6:30 pace or even quicker?
Yeah. You know, you mentioned my split was 2:40 for Balmahar when I did it in the fling. Okay, the fling is a 53-mile race. Mm. Well, I was there in 2:17.
Right.
You know, so what's that? So I'd allowed myself 23 minutes to slow down over 19 miles or something like that. So I was planning a minute a mile slower. I was planning to slow because I was not in the race shape I was for the fling. Yeah. So when we were doing, you know, 7:15, 7:30s, I know some of my data. I had done a 6:11 and a 6:15 along that stretch. Back when I was doing the fling, but one of the things I was thinking, my quads got really sore, and that was obviously when you're racing, you always get some discomfort. But when you're racing, and usually if I'm racing, I'm near the front and I'm in a battle and I'm racing for fifth place or whatever, that doesn't get focused on. The enjoyment and the buzz and excitement of racing and trying to battle to overtake that person or stop someone from overtaking you has the focus. But when you're in non-race mode and jog mode, and all of a sudden you tend to pay it too much attention, and you're thinking, oh, that's discomfort, that's, you know. But I was thinking, you know, was it because I was doing 6:30 minute miling on the flat and I was running too fast, and, and it was really nice that it wasn't. So I think it was the fact that I'd done a lot more cycling in preparation for the Ironman, and I've been ticking over doing 20 to 25 miles a week run training, which I know it's not much, but I've never really done much. And but it was the fact that I hadn't done any long, really long runs or undulating runs, which I think, you know, contributed to the sore quads, yeah.
Okay, so at Bridgewarkey, when you did decide to stop, you still had almost 20 hours, 19, 20 hours. Did it go through your mind, well, I could just walk it in, or did you decide, no, it's, if it wasn't happening, I'd rather just stop there?
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, I've done 28 ultras, and whenever I've chatted to people doing ultras, they talk about the battle and having to struggle and having to fight to the finish. And my whole philosophy is it's not about that. It's about the joy, the pleasure, the excitement of a race. And, you know, I guess I'm a bit soft, but I don't struggle, I don't fight, I don't, you know, do death marches and stuff like that. And and it basically, the bit from, we went through Orkutea and I was on a really good patch, so I didn't want to stop ruin that good patch, so I went right through, ran through Tindrum, going really well. And then on the descent after Tindrum, the quads got really painful again, and I started walking and I just kept on walking. And I finally got jogging again, but I was going so slow. It was like, John mentioned it. He mentioned in the podcast earlier that I was an elite runner. There's a was there, yeah. And it was sort of like, yeah, I don't jog at this pace. I'm not meant to. I know there's a bit of ego there sort of says to me, I shouldn't be battling away. And so that's what it was. Yeah. And you know, I do the running for the enjoyment. And I wanted to run that, but the way I was going, I wouldn't have been able to run up the hills. I wouldn't have even been able to run on the downhill, so I would have been walking it. So there's a difference between running it and walking it. And for me, we were sitting there at Bridgewarkey and watching everyone go past. And some of them were looking really good, and some of them were looking not so good. And I'm thinking, I've got 30 plus miles to go, and then I was thinking, gee, I'm really soft. Here I am sitting in the sunshine having a nice chat, and these people are going on. And so for them, I don't know, I guess it made me realize how fortunate I'd been with my ultra, my 28 29 ultras, that I'd never experienced what I experienced yesterday before. So it's given me, you know, the fact that I had to walk, I had to struggle, and it was a struggle, and it's, for me, it's not something I'd do again, I don't think.
And now, a day later, do you still feel the same?
Yeah. It's disappointment that I should have been able to run on those downhills and not done so much walking, but I've always raced on emotion, and that emotion has been the competitiveness, the joy of running quickly and running fast, and really feeling like I'm performing. And then when you haven't got that emotion and you haven't got that positive reinforcement, yeah, I'm going really well, this is fantastic, it's really hard, I found that really hard. So no regrets, because that, if I did continue, it would have been a long, and yeah, it would have been nice to finish and get a goblet. And it was great at the prize giving today, seeing all those people, and I'm not sure what place I was when I dropped out. I think I was in 66th place at Bridgewarkey, and I've just been looking on the spreadsheet seeing where these guys finished, and some of the people I was chatting to, they says, yeah, you're on target for sub 24, and people were, they were doing 22, 23 hours, so, and I was in there 13 and a half, so that's another 11 hours, which would have been a tough 11 hours, so the right decision for me. For those other people, I really respect that they've got something which I haven't got. And for them to persevere is, you know, yeah, some of them were looking pretty rough at Bridgewarkey. Like I say, you know, people have different strengths, but that's not my strength.
Yeah. I think people have different goals, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, I remember watching Malcolm Green go through, and I've always had a bit of a chat with him because he's been improving each year. And I know he's got my sub 20, you know, he wants to get under 20 hours, which is great.
But he was having a tough time, and he said to me, "This is what a death march looks like." And he made it to the finish. I think he was 25 hours or something. But for him, that was his goal. And if he couldn't do his time, he still wanted a finish. And so everyone's different, aren't they, in what they're after? But I must admit, when I was supporting you, I was really pleased that you didn't stop at Ben Glass. I felt if you'd stopped there, I think you might have regretted that.
Yeah.
Whereas you did give it a chance. And if, you know, it might have been that you got going again and then you were able to run more than you walked, then you may well have wanted to finish. Mm-hmm. But I say, when you were, as you explained, you didn't, you know, it wasn't important enough to you, was it?
No.
In a sense,
no.
To battle.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And that's right. And people might say, well, you must battle and other races I've done, and I've never seen myself battling. You know,
okay.
John saw me finish at the Lakeland 100 3 years back, and I was a total, I wouldn't say a mess, but I was totally exhausted.
Yeah.
But there was no, but I won the race, and so you can achieve anything when you're performing really well. And but there was never any sense of it being a struggle or a battle. It was just. It was more, I had the positive emotion to overcome any discomfort my body might have been telling me.
Okay, Stu, I'd like to just get your perspective on the race as a whole. That's the first time you've done the race, and you've done lots of races in the UK and overseas and New Zealand. So from your perspective, how did the West Highland Way stand up in the sense of as a race?
Yeah, for some reasons it was different. It was a 1 o'clock start, so that's quite unique. I've only done one race that's been a midnight start, and one time the UTMB was a 11:30 start. So that's okay. It's always a bit of a. I would prefer not to be a 1 o'clock start, but you know we went along and signed on and registration and managed to chat to a few people I'd got to know over racing and stuff, so that was okay. And before we knew it, we were starting.
Mm.
We had a bit of a race briefing, and you know, it was just all clear, and we got going. So it was just like any other race. There was a real buzz and excitement, and you chat to a few people. The course, obviously, it's the West Highland Way, so there's no need to mark it. You just follow the West Highland Way markers. You know, your dibbers and, you know, everything's sort of checkpoints. And although slightly different, this one, there's no food for you at checkpoints, so you've got to carry your own or you have your support crew.
Mm.
But, it's just, the runners is in all races. they're friendly and it was quite interesting. And you really appreciate the community of running, because when I was going pretty slow between, Invisnade and Ben Glass and stuff like that, you know, everyone asks, you okay? Mm. And you're sort of like, yeah, I'm just going slow. because I was, went off quite fast. So that's quite nice that there's that caring community support and stuff. And so, it's great. And the prize giving, those people haven't been to the West Island Way, every finisher gets a goblet, a crystal goblet, and so everybody goes up and gets their moment where they shake hands with the race director and get a photo taken, and that's, I thought that was quite special and quite nice, and because, as I mentioned earlier, some people have really made a, massive effort to get to the finish, and so, for them to get that applause and recognition is quite special.
I always think as well, Stuart, that's in that room, everybody understands what it takes.
Yeah.
Because, runners will go back to work tomorrow and they'll say, what do you do? Oh, I ran 95 miles. I did it in 24 hours. Or if you say 32 hours, they don't really understand. But in that room, everybody understands.
Yeah.
And I think it just creates an amazing atmosphere. It's a race. I was sad to miss it this year because I had to come back for family. But every year I just think it's just I love it. It's a great atmosphere there. Yeah. As far, I just wanted to ask you as well. You've been looking at the splits and things. Have you got any perspective on the race of how it went and the top end and the way people paced it? James, who won the race. Any thoughts on the sort of how they managed the race?
Well, There was four of us running together. So there's myself, James, chap from Germany, and another fourth.
Chris Brown?
Yeah, fourth. So they got added at four. I think they got first and second. So if you weren't in that front four, you were sort of looking at the results. You know, if you weren't in the front four by the time you got... Because I got to Balmahar at fifth place because I dropped off and then someone just overtook me going up Connacht Hill. So if you, those that were racing, if you want to be in the race at the front of the field, you've really... You've got to, you know... I don't think you can start off and give people 10-minute, 15-minute head starts if you want to win the race.
Even though Richie Cunningham, when he won it, that's what he did.
Yeah.
He was, I think he was 20, even 25 minutes behind by Ben Glass.
Wow.
And brought it back.
Yeah.
But that's maybe because someone like Richie, his strength was the second half and some of the bigger hills, you know, and that's what he trained for.
Yeah.
Maybe... You know, it depends who it's there, isn't it? You know, if there's a runner who's capable.
Yeah.
I remember the first year Paul Giblin won it, that was really funny because he went off and Marco and one or two others thought, oh, you'll never keep that off. They let him go and then they never saw him again.
Yeah.
So.
But, you know, it wasn't, like I say, I was surprised when I found out the winning time was 15:15 because that's pretty quick, and
yeah.
I think that is the third fastest time behind Paul Giblin and Robbie Bridden, who got second to Paul a couple of years back. So it was an amazingly quick time, but yet we weren't going very quick relatively to a 15:15.
So do you think he probably picked up the pace,
yeah.
Slowed down less.
James, who won it, he wasn't the guy that was setting the pace for the first 9-10 miles. It was one of the other guys. And we were just sort of letting the other guy set the pace. So it was sort of... and, you know, we were chatting there and then. You know, you don't chat that much, but, you know, a few chats there and then. So, you know, everyone was finding it easy.
Yeah. What about the heat on the race? Because I was looking at the splits and there were some people who I thought would maybe be 2 or 3 hours quicker... And there seemed to be quite a few, and I wondered whether the heat, but you were saying you felt the midges as well.
Played a
big part mentally with people.
Yeah, well, I didn't think the heat was much, although you mentioned they were worried about my weight in terms of dehydration, but I don't know what it would have been, maybe 18, 20, something like that. So, you know.
That's hot for Scotland.
Yeah, but it was interesting, the midges, like, I'd never experienced anything like it, and you mentioned it was worse, probably. And you mentioned you chatted to Andy Cole, and he said it was really worse than ever.
Mm.
And it was. You were running, and it just took your focus away from trying to maintain a good pace or a good intensity, because you were just. It was unbelievable for about an hour. These midges, and so that might have just distracted people, and then they slackened off a bit and maybe not realise that they'd slackened off. I don't know, it's just a theory. But it was quite an experience with those midges, yeah. If people haven't experienced midges, you want to do the West Highland Way. Yeah.
If you've seen a photograph on Facebook, Graeme Hewitson took photographs of people around about Dario's post and the start, and he just put one photo on today, and it's just a swarm of all these midges. And then there's loads of comments afterwards about people saying how many bites they had and the situation. Okay, just to finish with Stuart, could you answer maybe two questions together? One is, would you come back and do it again? And the second one is, what are your plans for ultra running over next year, this year, next year? What's your feeling?
Well, I took a break from ultras 2 years ago, and that fitted in nicely because 2014 I was struggling in a few races, and I was trying to get to grips with getting older and not being as competitive. So it was nice to have a break, and I did Ironman Lanzarote back for the 25th anniversary, and that was really enjoyable. But I entered this last November because I wanted to do it, and I'd done the Highland Fling, but also I wanted to see, well, could I do ultra running without trying to be competitive, and you know, is there still a place for me, you know, in ultra running? And I think yesterday confirmed that for me, I think that would be the last ultra race.
I
think it is, and what I think I'm going to do now, you know, I love the running, but, you know, I've always, you know, run 300 times a year, but I raced 7 times a year, so I'm a runner, not a, you know, yeah, a racer, and I think I'll just run, and I'll drive somewhere, and I'll run on my own North Downs Way, or I'll run the Cotswolds Way, and just go for a 100-mile run on my own, and stop at B&B and stuff like that. You know, because, I don't know, it's quite difficult, the competitive side, and I think, well, I used to be at the front, and I don't know, it's, and I think in order to be an elite athlete, or semi-elite, or whatever you want to call it, to win a few races, you've got to have some ego where you love the joy of winning, you know, because, you know, and there's something in your makeup which you love that competition and you love that, and when that's no longer capable, it's hard, you know, what's your next goal? You can't see any PBs, you can't do things like that, and you know, you can just run, and, you know, I love running, and I don't need a race, you know, I can just do that. So that's what I think for my running. And I'm thinking I might go back and do some more Ironmans, because I really enjoyed the Lanzarote. I was going to mention, you know, so my Ultra Street blog, which I write, I'm thinking I'm going to do, write one last post and then sign off, because I think my Ultra Street can be, you know, it's been great. I've done 8 years of ultra running. And it's, you know, it might sound a bit sad that my last one is a DNF and I'm calling it quits after that, but you know, it's just, what do people run for? And I run for the enjoyment, and I can get the enjoyment just running on the trails on my own. I don't need to run in a race and stuff.
The thing is, though, you don't have to say, you know, that's the last race ever.
It
might be in 3, 4, 5, 10 years time that you decide, you know, and there's no reason why you can't come back. And
it's not, but
yeah, I can see where you're coming from, and you know, I think we've talked quite a bit about the difference between running for a purpose, i.e. train for a race, or just enjoying running for itself. You know, and basically you do enjoy running, don't you? You will continue to keep fit and run, and
I always run, and you know, even though I've just been ticking over 20-25 miles a week, you know, that's four runs a week, you know.
Well, maybe your blog, you'll need to rename it, and
it's quite interesting, because it was John that set me up the blog. You know, meeting John and seeing his blog that inspired me to do mine, and it'd be nice for me. I think I will come back and run that last 42 miles.
Okay.
But I'll just do it on a holiday, just because I still haven't done it.
Yeah.
And it'd be nice, you know, I'll start at Bridget Orkey and run to Fort William, and then, you know, maybe go back the other way, back to Bridget Orkey, you know, 2-day run or something like that. But I don't need to do it in an organised event, because I can still experience the scenery and the joy of running there. So.
And if you go a time of the year where there's not so many midges.
So overall, you know, it's been a great weekend. You know, disappointing, you know, not to have done it, disappointing the dropout, you know, because I was really buzzing those first 10 miles. I was thinking, this is just like it should be in the front bunch and stuff like that. And, you know, catching up with a few people, and it's been a great weekend.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you very much. And we wish you a safe journey home tomorrow. And we will keep in touch. And I look forward to seeing how other things go. So thank you very much, Dip.
Hope you've enjoyed this latest West Highland Way Race podcast. There will be hopefully some more coming up in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to interview the three guys who I've been following over the last few months and see how they got on. Thankfully, they all finished, so it'll be interesting to hear their stories. Also, I've been in touch with the winner, James Stewart, and he's quite happy to do a podcast, so hopefully we'll arrange that pretty soon as well. And also, I've contacted Lizzie Wraith, who won the ladies' race, to see if she'll be willing to give an interview. So hopefully we'll get those out in the next few weeks as well. So I hope you've enjoyed this latest West Harland Way Raid podcast, and I hope you've enjoyed again being involved with the race this weekend. Just going to finish with a final quote, and this one comes from Confucius. Success depends upon previous preparation, and without such preparation, there is sure to be failure.